Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Can I tell you guys? Well, I guess I can. I got the mic. Something just, two girls happened to me last week. It was 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and I'm going home, and I thought, well, I'm going to call Black Bear and order something. And so I go by to pick it up, and I'm sitting on this little bench, you know, the little bench where you go in, and here's a bear, and there's a bear, and you're protected. You're sitting right between them. And so this lady comes in, and she's all proper and Hispanic lady, and she's got on a hat, and she's got on a cape, and she just dressed up. And so her husband's sitting there, and he's as cute as a bug's ear, too, with her. And so we're just sitting there, and finally we strike up a conversation. And this man opens the door, and in comes two dogs. Two black dogs, and one was like this tall, and the other one was just like this. He was just following wherever the big dog went, he just followed the big dog. And guess where he followed him to? Directly to me, and to this pretty lady, and I could tell she didn't like dogs any more than I do. I mean, I just not. I liked horses and cows, but I'm just not a cat dog lover. Excuse me, Dee, but here's this big old dog, and we're sitting there, and a dog that big is right here, and he's looking at me, and, I just jumped up and yelled. I just jumped up, and she jumped up, and we're standing over here just like a monster had come in, and the little dog's just wiggling its tail, and I go tell the manager, ma'am, there's dogs. You got dogs in here? She's like, what? And so she came over, and all those young people in there working, they didn't know what to do with those dogs. That big dog goes over to the front table, you know, the one that looks out both of those windows. He goes over there. And this lady's pancakes were on the edge. And he's like, his tongue is right there. Man, I don't know if he touched them, but he was right after those pancakes. And they're like, and the woman's husband's going. And all these kids are saying, come on, come on. And those dogs act like they did not even hear those people. And then they start running down the aisle, and they're looking, just sniffing, looking at everybody else's plates. What do you got that I want? And people just started scattering. You know what I did? Finally, this young man, he just got up. He got something out of the kitchen, and he just pelled it out to them, and they just followed him all the way out the side door. I'm not kidding you. I just left. I forgot I ordered food. I just plain forgot. I didn't wait. I didn't order. I didn't say, I'm sorry. I'm leaving. I just wasn't going to go down there. And I just told you that. I just told you the story. You don't have to denounce Black Bear. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. There's all kinds of creatures in this world. And they'll come wherever you are. And so don't be afraid to get up and take off. Do what you have to do. Amen. So, how many enjoyed that no good story? I mean, just worth nothing. Absolutely not 1 ounce of anything. I guess we all needed that after that election this week, didn't we? I'll find a good reason to get out of this story here in a minute anyway. But my goodness, the lines are drawn, folks. Yeah, Rick, I'll just entitle this message, The Lines Are Drawn, period. And so what we're about to see now, you know, before this week and all these last 2 years, we can't hardly believe how everything changed in 2 years, and it changed so rapidly. But can you imagine how it'll change because they've got the Senate now, how it'll change in the next 2 years even more? But I want to tell you, don't you dare be afraid. We're not afraid. We're still going to stand up. God is still going to take care of his people, and that's where I want to go this morning. But there is a time where you really, there's a mix between good and evil, where people call good evil and evil good, and even some of the churches are going along with it and compromising, And you really can't tell who is who in some circles. And so we've got to watch out. But I believe when I say the lines are drawn, I think, and this is me speaking, I believe you would agree, that with this now, the line is going to be clearly drawn, and we will be able to see, and we will be able to discern good from evil. And you will see it very clearly, and you'll know that's wrong and that's good. They are wrong on that, and they should know it. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people, even outside the church, not Christians, who are just people that care about their children, and they care about their church, and they care about their religious freedoms, and they care about freedom of speech, not freedom from speech. There's times that I brought things in here that would have been considered hate speech, just preaching the word of the Lord. And I also want to say this, that this increasing chaos that we have seen, and it did just start 2 years ago. We know that it just accelerated in the past 2 years. But that increasing chaos, at the same time, there will be an absolute increasing revival. Amen? There will be an increasing reformation. The world will even be reformed. The church will be reformed. There's a change. Thank God for change, and thank God for revival. Thank God for awakenings. But I thank God more for reformation than anything else when there is a change in a nation. I'm not going to have you turn over there, but in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about the mystery of godliness. How many know that there is a mystery to living godly? A mystery to godliness. And it says, and it speaks about the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of sin, the mystery of going off the rails, the iniquity of compromise, wickedness, lawlessness. And it goes on there, even when it says there is a mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity, it says, and the mystery of this iniquity and lawlessness has already been revealed. Amen? It's all over the place. No, it all really says it's already at work. And we're watching it work, work, work. Everywhere that it can get an open door, it is working. The Bible also tells us that the love of money, the love of money in this last hour, it will be overtaking. Now, the love of money, we all need money. We've got to have it. It's not the root of all evil, but the love of money is. Okay, so we all need it. We all have need of it. But there's something else, folks. The Bible says the love of many, many people will wax cold. People will become more hard-hearted. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it says this, know also that in the last days, perilous times, that means dangerous times, turbulent times. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous and boasters, and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means, incontinent means to have your passions unleashed. There's no leash on your passions. Just do whatever feels right to you. Truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. Fierce? Oh yeah, violence has hit the streets. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then it tells you and I what to do. They have a form of godliness. Some will even have a form of godliness. But they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. I believe there's these things that will mark the last day church that is a true church in the last hour. And that will be the word of the Lord, of course, the word. It will always remain strong and powerful and preach without fear. Preach without wavering. Preach without compromise. Because it is the unadulterated word. It is the word of God. It is Jesus himself. So whenever we preach the word, I'm going to tell you, there's a new revelation of the word of God that's coming into his people. You all, I'm telling you, if you have never, you know why you say to people, sometimes you'll hear the word preached, or you will see it maybe in your Bible study or in your devotion in the morning, and you'll say, wow, I never saw the word like that before. You know what that is? It's revelation. See, you can't, if you read the word, and you can just read it and read it, and you can even study, but when something comes alive to you, that's revelation by the Holy Spirit. And that only happens by him when he unfolds it to you. So I'm just giving you an announcement this morning, or I'll call it prophecy, that you are going to yourself begin to have more revelation of the Word of God. When you read it, the Holy Spirit will say, this is what I want you to know about that. And he will unfold it just like he said he would. And there will be a faith, a new faith that will begin to come out of your belly, the innermost being of the man. It will be a new faith. You're like, I didn't have faith. I don't think I had the faith for that. All of a sudden, there's this newness that's rising up in us. At the same time, there is a great falling away. There's going to be a great outpouring. And when the revelation of the word begins to come up like that, let me tell you something, the power of God will be revealed. We haven't seen very much power in the past 2,000 years. Excuse me, 1,000 years. There were some that came out maybe at different awakenings over time, but it faded away. But this last day church will be known by its word, by its power, and by the presence of God. By his presence. And there's a lot of churches today that don't want his presence. Don't speak in tongues. And do not even dare call the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. You old fashioned thing, you. Now don't do that. Don't talk about him and don't speak in tongues. But I'm just saying, in this last hour, it's going to be a powerful church. And it's happening now. It's starting now. It's on you. You're beginning to feel something come up in you. What is that? That's revival in yourself. You know, I did two meetings this week. I did one for Women's Aglow, the AM Aglow in Bakersfield on Wednesday. And I did a Hanford church on Thursday night, a revival. And we got those banners there you saw on the side of the church. But I remember telling those women, I don't know that I'd ever spoken it, but I said, ladies, God has said it's time to quit overdosing on yourself. We have OD'd so bad on ourselves that we become little victims. And we feel so bad for us. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? I don't know. I'm worried. I'm stressed. I'm this. I'm that. I'm. And it isn't even about us. So he's saying, stay away from that now, because this revival will hit you first. It'll hit you in your prayer closet. It will hit you and bring you into intimacy with him. And when you get intimate with him, other things begin to happen. When a man and a woman come together in intimacy, there is a pregnancy that happens sometimes. And when you get to Jesus and you become intimate, you become pregnant with things that you don't even know that you are carrying. But can I tell you all today that every single one of us are carriers. You're carriers of something. And where his presence is, there's always power. And where his presence is, the word will be revealed to us. You won't remain the same. And you will not be known as you are known right now. Oh, you'll have your same personality. Because God wants to use us all. Now let me jump off here and tell you another story, but I think this one's much better than the dog thing. I hope you'll come back, Judy. I don't always talk about those unnecessary stories. Okay. When Rick and Jamie passed, we built a new home about a year later, and we moved into that home about a year to the date that they passed. And there was, in that little house, how many, do you remember when I lived on Whitechapel Street? Whitechapel and King's Cross. And in the front window, like a little entry, there was an octagon window. And I used to call it a little porthole window. And I told Velma, our secretary at that time, her and Bob, I said, you know, do you guys know where I could reach somebody that works with stained glass? And Velma says, yes, I do know a person. She's wonderful. And so I said, well, I want to go see her. So we made an appointment. I went to see her. And I said, I'd like to have a lion in that window. And she says, well, I think there's a lion in the book. We found the lion. She says, what color do you want? And I didn't have no church. And purple's not really my favorite color. But I said, well, how about a purple lion? You don't want an amber one? Amber and yellow, orange? No, we'll just do purple and lavender. Okay. So we did this big, beautiful lion face with a big mane about the color of this lining here, lavender. And I drove by the other day to see that lion. It's still right there in that window. And one day, I think I'm going to stop and see if I can find the owner of the house and maybe buy that. And it's like a prism or a sun catcher. And it was just the most beautiful thing from the inside of the house. Now, from the outside, I don't know. But when the sun was shining, it was so pretty. And when I drove by the other day, it was just before I went to a glow. It was the day before. And that was my message there. And I looked at that old lion, and I realized that it was put together by broken pieces of glass. And they had put the glass together, and I don't know how they colored it or if they had purple glass, but anyway, it was put together, and it was so beautiful, and it was so powerful in it, and it just made a statement, and I didn't even know I was making a statement, but I just loved it. But here's what the Holy Spirit began to say to me, and I want to remind you this morning. Our lives are so made up of broken pieces, and every piece that's broken in your life has a place. It's a place. You can remember the place where you went through that fire and you went through the most difficult time of your life. And you remember these places. And we don't just have one of these places. We have many of them. And sometimes they're great places. And you remember the favor of the Lord that was upon you and the great prosperity and the blessing and the things that came. But then you've always got all this other stuff of the past. But see, church, our lives are made up of that. And Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I wrote a song once called, I'm a lion in the tribe of the Lord. And we're all lions in his tribe. And don't forget that those pieces, every piece is a place and every place is a piece of your life. And don't forget that those places made you who you are today. I'm doing a funeral this week for the Ramirez family. And, you know, there was little things. But I said, you know what? Your daddy's character made you strong. He had those great work habits. Now look at you guys. You work hard. You're hard workers. But I just want to tell you that we can act like Moses because we're all called of God. We are so called of him. We're anointed and we're appointed for a purpose. Everyone on earth, we've got a purpose for him to work that no one else can do but you. You. You're it. But Moses said, oh God, I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't go out there and talk to Pharaoh. Do you expect me to speak to him? I can't talk to him. I stutter. I hesitate. I don't know what I'm going to say. God, send somebody else. No, I want you, Moses. When they hear you, they're going to hear my voice. You will be as the voice of God. You speak to them. Oh, please, please, God. I think he was probably suffered from intimidation and inferiority as well. God, please don't send me. Please, God, I can't do it. And then he says, okay, Moses, I'll send your brother Aaron. God is so good. I'll send Aaron, but you tell Aaron what to say, and it'll be as though it is the voice of God. So he goes to little Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a young man, probably about Christian's age. And he says, Jeremiah, I've called you to be a prophet to the world. Oh, God, I'm just a young boy. God, I'm just a youth. Do you see me? I cannot do this. I can't. And God said, Jeremiah, you're called. You'll be a prophet, and I will speak right out of your mouth. And the reason I told you this is to say this, church. With all those broken pieces in your life, you're that lion, see? You're that lion in the tribe of Judah. And those pieces came together, and it's going to cause you to be able to speak to someone that no one else could speak to. Because it's your personality, and it's what you went through. The death of your two boys. The health care of your husband. There's difficult jobs. You and raising a child alone, a single mom, going through divorces. We could just sit here and name the places and the pieces all day long. But nevertheless, there is no excuse to say, I can't be a witness. Because Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he will give you power to be, not to say, not to act, not to prophesy, not. He will give you power to be. All you've got to do is just be you. Just be who you are. And I'm telling you, your story has glory on it. You've already got the story. You don't have to be like Moses and say, oh God, I don't know. You don't have to be like Jeremiah, I don't know what to say. No, you'll know what to say, believe me. Because the love of many is becoming cold. The old King James says, the love of many will wax cold, and there will be a great falling away. Yeah, there will be. But I want to tell you what, there's a great outpouring coming on at the same time, and a great harvest. And Jesus said, pray that I will send many into the harvest. And I pray every day, God, every single person at Landmark and all the Christians and everyone you're going to save, oh God, put more laborers in the harvest field. Oh, the harvest is ripe. And the lemons and the oranges and the grapes are falling off the trees and they're going to rot if we don't get to them. So don't be afraid to tell somebody your story because they may need to hear it, church. But God's been preparing his people. And I'm going to tell you, Jim Baker was in prison. And Tommy Barnett says he went to Jim Baker. And he says, Jim, when did you quit loving the Lord? Jim, when did you backslide? When did you turn your back on God? He says, Jim, Tommy, I've always loved God. It's not that I don't love him. I've always loved him. Then how'd you get so far off? He said, I quit fearing him. I don't fear the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, in this hour of the falling away and the great pouring out, the fear of the Lord is returning. People will fear him again, and they will be beating those doors down. We'll bring him more chairs and more chairs, and that's all the churches who want him and are craving something new. But a holy reverence and a fear of the Lord will begin to sweep over the body of Christ. I drive past Holy Cross Church, and on Sunday, all day long, they have services. They must have thousands of people that go there for tradition and ceremony. Tradition and ceremony. They have reverence for the house of the Lord. They have reverence for the priest or the father. They have reverence for Mary. But you and I have reverence. Oh, sometimes there's not much reverence in the sanctuary of Christian churches, though. Do you notice that? Somebody told me the other day they walked past somebody and they used a bad word in the sanctuary. Don't ever allow somebody. I mean, you stop them. And you take your chance of sounding religious. Hey, bro. Hey, sis, you know we're in God's house? If they don't know any better, then maybe you should help them. You know, we're coming into the house of the Lord. Woohoo! Jumping and hollering and screaming. Well, it's good to have fellowship. But when you come in, at least respect the house. The fear of the Lord is returning in so many places that the Jim Bakers will repent before they begin to lose all of the fear of the Lord. If you're not fearing Him and you're thinking, well, sin is for everybody else, but sin's not for me. No, it's for us too. Sin for the sinner is sin for the same. The sin for the saint, sin for the sinner. Sin for the sinner is the same for the saint. Okay, sin is sin. So there's a true holiness, folks, a true purity that's returning. Holiness returning. Holiness is an old-fashioned word, but it will be a revival of holiness that returns where people do. There is a line drawn where, no, you're going to live holy. Those vulgar words, those cuss words, those bad words that just flow out of your mouth, they will stop when you fear God. When you know He's right there, He's right here. Oh, God. You know, you might apologize to somebody else. It doesn't matter. You don't have to apologize to them. How about Him? So there's got to return. There's got to be a return to holiness and purity to the church. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is increasing. And I'm going to close with this. Look at Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, verse 22. Two verses I want to show you. This was the people of Israel. And God told Moses to rise early and go before Pharaoh in the morning. Look at verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning. Stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. And then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they might serve me. Or else, if you will let my people go, behold, I will send, Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I'll send swarms of flies. Remember that. There's going to be flies on your servants and on your people and in your houses. The swarm of Egyptians, the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground where they stand. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people will dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. In order that you know I am the Lord in the midst of the land. And I will make a difference. I will make a difference. Somebody say, I'll make a difference. Between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. Okay. Now, whenever there are swarms of flies in a certain area, I doubt they're going to stop right here and not go over there. But that's exactly what happened. God said, they're going to get you, Pharaoh, and they're going to cover your land. But they are not going to enter Goshen where my people are. And he said, and this is going to happen tomorrow. Moses said, tomorrow. Moses said it. I'm telling you, it doesn't take God long. These guys have been in bondage 400 years. But when God's ready to do it, it just happens. But he said, they won't see any flies. And guess what? They didn't. Why? Because God had set up a place for them in Goshen. And God has a place for us called His kingdom. The kingdom of God. That's where you and I live. And so He said, I'm going to make a difference between your people, Pharaoh, and my people. I will make a distinction, some of the other translation says. I will make a distinction between them and them, between the world's people and you. And I believe that we're in this day where there will be a distinction between us all. Do you believe that? God is setting it up. Okay, one more in Malachi 3:18. I want you to see this. And then you shall again discern. Somebody say discern. Between the righteous and the wicked. Between one who serves God and one who doesn't serve God. He says, oh no, there will be a discernment You'll know who's serving him and who isn't. The line has been drawn, and it's been drawn today. You will know who's wicked and who's righteous. There's a righteousness, there's a holiness. So, folks, I'm just telling you, be very attentive to the Holy Spirit. Tell him, Holy Spirit, I will follow you. I will listen to you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice, and my sheep will follow me, and a stranger they will not follow. Jesus has more confidence in us than we have in ourselves. Hallelujah. We walk through the right door, folks. I told you last week, there's a set of doors, and Jesus said, I am the door. He who comes through me, he who enters through me, shall be saved. He shall be saved, and you will find pasture. You'll go in and out and find pasture. When a cow finds pasture, they go out and they eat until they're satisfied. And he said, my people will be satisfied. None of the plagues of the world shall come near you. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Wonderful Jesus. Holy Spirit, be it unto us as your word is said. There is a distinction. There is a distinction. No, we are not better than anybody. We're not lower than anybody. But you make the difference. In Jesus' name. Lord, there's people in this room that have decisions to make. And we are not in an hour where we just need to make a good decision. We need to make the right one and the quality choice. In the name of the Lord, Lord, we call your attention to those things. And I want to ask you this morning, are you here today and you say, Pastor, I've never walked through that door to give my heart to Jesus. I have never walked through that door. And I would like to do that today, to totally sell out to him and be a part of the Goshen team, to be a part of the kingdom team. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. We reach for souls. In the name of the Lord. What if Jesus came today? Where would eternity, where would you spend that eternity? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now listen, church. Don't you ever be like the people that were waiting on Moses. God said, Moses, come up to the mountain and be there. And I'm going to give everybody a portion of their inheritance. Yes, he gave them the Ten Commandments, but he said, I'm going to break up my inheritance, and everybody down there is going to get a piece. They're going to get their inheritance. And I'm telling you, it was something. It would be like thousands of acres and cows and donkeys, and God had it all figured out. And the people got tired of waiting on Moses. And they said, we have no idea what happened to him. He was supposed to come back down, and he has not come. And so they said, Aaron, we want to worship. So here's our earrings, our nose rings, our lip rings, and we're going to throw those in the fire. And Aaron said, out popped a golden calf. Well, no, a golden calf didn't pop out. They fashioned it and molded it and made their own gods. I'm going to tell you, some of you today are waiting on God for something. And it's very important that you wait him out. Don't run ahead and do something you shouldn't do. Maybe you shouldn't even go over to that bank and try for that or do, I don't know what it is. But I'm just saying, be careful. Just wait for the Lord, and you stand in his presence and you watch what he does. Hallelujah. Just think on that. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord today. Come on. Lift up your hands and give him praise right now. Come on, let's give him praise in Jesus' name. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. We feel your presence in this room, Lord, and we magnify you. We glorify you as King and as Lord in Jesus' name. You are Lord. You are Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, listen. when the distinction is made, which side will you be on? Which side will you be on when the difference is made between God's people and the people of the world? Make sure you're on the right side. Make sure you go through the right door. Even downtown, there will be times you're getting ready to go into a restaurant or through a door, and it will say, use that door. Go around to the side. Don't use this door. I believe there's signs all around us that God says, don't use that door. Only this one. This is the door of Jesus. Go through here. Enter here. Hallelujah. And he'll give you pasture, and he saves. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you. I ask your blessing upon us, that you bless your people and keep them, be gracious to them. Turn your face toward us, turn your countenance toward us, and give us peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.